You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Hey everyone, welcome to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene, and we are talking about emotional recovery in the raw. If you've been listening to me for a little bit, you know that I like to focus on four key areas, either our relationships, our health, our finances, or our career. Today's guest, I am really excited to talk to because I'm going to put this in the category of relationship and relationship with yourself, your whole self, whether that is past or present. Today's guest is Veronica Drake. She's a dynamic, internationally recognized psychic medium as a sought-after keynote and motivational speaker and frequent radio podcast guest. Her down-to-earth, relatable approach is a magnet for people of all ages and places. She has been called a life changer, guardian angel, and cheerleader rolled into one, and coach, intuitive, and magician. Since her entrepreneurial start in 1996, her business has grown dramatically, including past life readings as the foundational start to identify soul blockages for spiritual healing. Veronica stands out in the field of spiritual messengers and psychic mediums with her no woo-woo approach with individuals, groups, and online followers. Her credo is take a spiritual journey. And she not only communicates messages from spirit, she coaches people to listen with confidence to their own spiritual voice. Her 2022 Year of the Soul keynote programs include Going Within and Conversations with Source. V, I am so excited to have you today.
Oh, I am thrilled to be here, and I love the name of the show.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad because, you know, we all got it. We've all got a little bit of crazy. It just depends.
And own it.
Just depends on when and how it shows up. You know, one of the things that I love about doing this show, but also being just an individual who is constantly seeking a relationship with my higher self, is really exploring all avenues of what that might mean. And so for me, part of that exploration has been going and understanding, you know, transitioning of the body, non-physical energy, things like that, that I align with. And so when I was looking at your work as a coach and helping people, I think in the introduction there where you're helping people really get aligned with their spiritual life through your work and what you do, I find that fascinating. And I'm just going to start out by just throwing the ball into your court and saying, hey, tell us your story. And we'll start there. Like when you knew you were a psychic medium, how you figured all this out. I mean, I find that's awesome to just listen to. So I'm turning it over to you.
Well, I'm very proud to say that my story started October 2nd, 1962, but I won't take y'all back that far. My beloved grandfather, when I was 25 years old in 1987, died. He was 65 years old. He basically raised me and my brother, him and my grandmother, and I was pregnant with my second child at the time. I was very young when I had my children, and I was devastated, and I couldn't sleep, and he came to me. I saw him physically, saw him standing in front of me, and I wasn't afraid. I just was kind of more like a deer in headlight, and I heard him say, I'm okay. And the funny thing was, he was dressed as he was in his 20s. He had his army uniform on. I could see the little hat. And by the way, I have the little hat right over here that I was then given. pardon me, told me he was okay. And I went to sleep. And fast forward, I didn't do anything with this ability because I had two children. I was busy being normal, so to speak. And then when I turned about 40, It just started, the floodgates started opening. Well, a little bit back in 1996, prior to that, maybe age 38-ish, I went to take my life. I had decided that I was done. I had made some really bad choices. I'd hurt a lot of people, and I was going to crash my car into the side of a bridge. And I was careening my car, and all of a sudden, I felt my car fill up with this incredible warmth, and I had to squeeze my shoulders together. And I literally was sweating. It was November 96, and I heard, "We've got you." And my foot came off the accelerator. Obviously, I didn't leave the world, but in that moment, everything changed. Now, it wasn't instantaneous, it was over time, but I began to step into a higher part of myself, if you will. And so that's really how my journey started.
When that first started for you, did you find, like, did you seek out people to understand more and more what was occurring, or was it like an intuitive, you just kind of went along with what was happening?
Well, in 1996, we didn't have Google. Like, you didn't have the resources. There wasn't a plethora of information like just flooding us. I would go to the bookstore and sit there, and I found what I called to be my life raft was Dr. Wayne Dyer. I immersed myself heavily in his books, and just, I had my Sony Walkman and would listen on my Sony Walkman to his CDs, And really, I attribute him to saving me and pushing me forward. And I actually, when I did get to meet him, I kissed his bald head. So that might be my claim to fame. I
He's a fantastic teacher. In fact, I was working with someone the other day, and she was talking about expanding her spiritual awareness, and that was one of the people that I suggested that she listen to, just for the divine guidance.
He's quite amazing. And he'll obviously he'll just live forever in our hearts and in his work. And he just transformed my life. And here's one of the things. When I was listening to him, I would have this self-talk that would be like, "Who do you think you are? I never went to college. I never had any kind of formal training. I sat at my kitchen table with a yellow legal pad, a pen, and a vision in my head that I was going to help women in this world. And I didn't know how, but I just began to write it all down. And it was through him that I was able to blossom and flourish, or he's how I cut my teeth, so to speak.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I think what's really cool is that you were open to listening to that message, because I think a lot of us get the message of this is something you should do, and then we block it. Or we think, oh, that's silly to think, or how would I ever do that? I had a similar experience driving in my car from Denver to North Platte, Nebraska. I was going home to visit my family. I was at a rock bottom professionally, and I was listening to Les Brown and Zig Ziglar on a motivational video. I had never even Googled, I mean, I'd never done YouTube really. And Les Brown came along there and said, people go to work every day and are miserable, yet they do nothing about it. And the tears just started coming because I knew I was that person in that moment. And then another thought came, and the thought was, I think you're supposed to do something with all those women you've been helping in recovery. Like, I think, and then the next thought was very similar to what you shared was, well, how do I do that? And then my head went to just start with what you like to do, which was public speak. And so that was like join Toastmasters. I mean, it was that simple of a first step solution, right?
Absolutely. You know what's funny? I can remember being in kindergarten and the teacher's name was Miss Bird. Okay. It started in kindergarten. She put me behind the piano because I talked too much in class. All the way through school, detention, separated from the class. I had to sit in the hall. I couldn't sit by anybody because I talked too much. And I like to say, the joke's on you because I get paid to talk. So be natural. Whatever it is you're naturally gifted at, who are you first thing in the morning when you wake up? Because there's breadcrumbs woven throughout our whole life.
I totally agree with that. I have said so many times, whether I'm teaching or talking or whatever I'm doing, just think back through your life. what you have always naturally done, especially in the young years, right? I mean, I was on a stage talking in kindergarten, and then that just continued all through school, whether it was performing or whether it was, you know, just doing outlandish stuff. And yet I too had my own rock bottom and my own difficulties in life that continued to wake me up along the journey. But when you look back and you see where the seeds are all planted, so here we go. Okay, now it's all coming. So when you think about how other, now I'll say congruent lives, but past lives, it's like one big weaving. Would that be like, how would you describe that? Like we're talking about this lifetime childhood, but when you talk about other lifetimes, are all those attributes? Yeah, go ahead.
It blows people's mind when I say we are simultaneously living every single life we've ever lived.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, our humanness can't take that. So we're shielded from that. But inevitably, I have been able, and I've case studies on this, I've been able to look at people who've had neck pain for their entire adult life in this lifetime. And I can very quickly go in, tune in, and see where their neck was snapped because they were lynched. And wow. It's like, okay, so what do you do with that? And so I didn't know. And I'm like, well, I can't Google that. So what am I going to do? I'm going to listen. And I'm going to just get the message. And so the message is a piece of you, a fragment of you, a part of your soul kind of just hanging out there, right? Nothing sinister going on. It needs a little nudge. Okay, it's 2022. Come on, back yonder, you know? And then you begin to heal. I wish I understood how it happened, the mechanics of it. The testimonials are just speak for themselves.
It's almost like the conscious awareness that does the healing in this lifetime, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so when you're getting the messages, so I'm assuming there's different ways. So I don't know if one's more popular to one medium or psychic than another, but are you hearing the messages? Are you seeing the messages? Are you feeling the messages? Like, how is that being downloaded to you or trans or whatever, communicated to you?
Yeah. So I just know things. I know things. Like, I don't know why I know things. I just know things. Like, and I have no filter, which helps me because I just push it out there. I also get metaphors. I'll hear metaphors. I'll see images. I'll see symbols. And then I extrapolate. Like, it's a co-creative process. And here's the thing. Every single person, without exception, has this ability. It's innate. The creator built us with it.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think happened at age 40? I know you had the moment of wanting to end, you know, I guess end it all is one way we could say it or commit suicide. But what do you think happened at 40? Here's in the back of my head. I had some pretty fantastic things happen too about that same age. But I had started meditating a lot more and then it increased. But I don't know, being women, I'm going to go with hormonal changes. I don't know why that is like totally in my head right now. Maybe it's because I'm menopausal. I don't know. It's a whole new world now. So do you think there was any reason for it to happen at 40 biologically, or do you think it was?
Well, and that's a great question. What I do find, I'll tell you, my following, they start at 40 and they go up to 70. I have a wide span. So something happens at 40. We scratch our heads and we go, there's got to be more. Something's missing. And so physiologically, you know, our soul is starting to wake up. We're feeling a nudge in our stomach. We're uncomfortable. And also on the outside, life is discernibly different for a lot of women at age 40. Our kids are grown, you know, we've had enough time in a career or in the field that, you know, we're like, well, what's next? What's next? We're excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say this, if it scares you to do it, because that's going to be life-changing.
Well, and I think, do it. And then I also, about, you know, the age 40 or so, you know, midlife crisis, is what they've called it in the past, or, you know, what I've heard other people describe it as. But I really think it's a time when we start to, for those of us who are, you know, eagerly seeking and searching, but I really think it's a time in our lives where we are starting to understand that the old beliefs and the old values no longer serve who we are as an individual at that age with that life experience. And then suddenly, I call it an identity crisis, where it's you know, and either you're going to embrace that crisis and you're going to figure out who you are, or finally allow yourself to be the whole self. Do you know what I mean by that? Absolutely. Versus attaching to everything that everybody's been telling you for all these years, or if you've attached your sense of self to other outside beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And maybe at 40, we've just had enough. I don't.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. You go, who am I? And you look at that. I can remember one day I worked for 15 years in dentistry, and I was driving to work, and I managed the office, and I was I had everything materialistically you could want. I remember pulling the visor down in my car, just checking the makeup and making sure. And I saw for the first time, I had this wrinkle in my head that didn't, I thought it was a sheet mark when I was, and I'm like, oh my God, the sheet mark didn't go away. And I remember being like devastated that the sheet mark didn't go away. Like, I mean, that's how like vain and tripped up I was,
yeah.
But that's all supported by a backstory,
yeah.
Right? Because we all come from some sort of story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how we choose to tell that story. I think at age 40, we go, nope, rewrite, mm-hmm. Time to rewrite, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what I did for myself, because my family thought I was crazy. I mean, I left a great job, everything you should want. At age 50, I became a professional psychic medium. Who does that?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, I resigned from the six-figure job a year ago and just like, well, you know, it's no longer working. It's no longer working. Now there was a buildup of misery.
Oh, that propelled you to jump off the cliff, right?
You know, the contrast was there pushing me. It was just, you know, when I finally woke up to have enough courage to take the jump and to say, this isn't working. Do you think that there were a lot of people, in fact, you probably know and feel this based on what you do. Do you think there were a lot of people during the COVID pandemic that woke up to that? I mean, we hear it around us where people really had a glimpse at what's important, I guess you could say, with their own life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look at COVID as being a great teacher, you know, because we got to see, if we were blessed enough, we got to see ourselves raw. We got to see ourselves, you know, in a way we'd never experienced in my lifetime. You know, I'd never been told you can't go to the grocery store, or you can't, you know. And what were we faced with? We were faced with what was right in front of us. The partner, you know, and then it became, well, is this the partner for me? I'll tell you honestly, 2020 was by far the best year in my business I'd ever had. I exceeded way the low
my
life years. I mean, it's just been an incredible,
oh, fantastic
journey. Like, it's a wave. But I attribute that to, we're turning a corner. People, women are waking up and
totally
wanting more, right?
Yep. Totally wanting more. And I think that there's been a big movement in releasing the shame, releasing shame of not living with the choices, you know, honoring ourselves with our own decisions and not what everybody else thinks, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I get that, you know, I finally took charge of my life and stopped living everybody's definition of who I should be or who they thought I was.
Yeah.
And we live in a defined box, so to speak, because as humans, we seek security, right? That's our first thing. Look at the hierarchy. You know, we want security. We want, you know, and then when we realize, well, wait, let me test the water. Maybe I can do this, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
And you just do it, you know, and I tell my clients, it's one choice at a time.
One choice at a time. So, okay. So let's go into the area of your clients. So, I mean, I just want to hear some fantastic stories that you've got to have about transformations, women who have, I mean, you just gave a fantastic example earlier about the neck pain. I mean, could you share with the audience and me just some of your best stories? Because I just find this fascinating. I just
absolutely
love hearing it.
I started working with a woman who, by all accounts, had everything. Again, you know, outwardly people found me through what she does. And it come to be that while she had everything, she was living a very miserable existence on the East Coast. She was married to this man that had, came from great wealth, all the stuff that we're taught to want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three beautiful kids. She didn't have to work. She could work. She, you know, all of this. She took classes nonstop. Anyway, we worked together. I pointed out some things through past life stuff and through, you know, psychically what her higher self was saying to her. It took about a year, no, maybe 2 years, 2.5 years. She left her marriage amicably. Okay. Mm. Picked up lock, stock, and barrel by herself and moved from New Jersey to Arizona. Didn't know a soul out there, put her teeth into what she was doing, got an incredible job.
Isn't that fantastic?
Amazing life. And she said to me, I owe this to you. And I said, no, you don't. You said yes to the journey.
Yeah. You said yes to the journey. I love that. Yeah. I mean, yes to the journey.
It's absolutely. And there are women like her that, you know, women that have wanted to start businesses, but felt like, oh, this isn't the time and you don't do it now. And they didn't know business in what.
One, right?
What am I good at? What am I naturally gifted at? You know, and the number one question I hear all the time is what's my purpose? Why am I here? And you know why you're here? You know why we're all here? Is to evolve our soul. The soul wants to know itself in the highest possible capacity. That might mean flipping eggs. It might mean.
That's right. That's right. I totally get that. What was a recent like aha moment I had was when I was thinking about, you know, you hear like, so part of my journey was once I started getting into, you know, okay, I think this is going to be helping people on a, you know, nicer level, coaching, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, well, you got to learn how to do that. So I started attending all the motivational conferences and some great education, by the way, but a lot of motivational conferences. And they would talk about, you know, what is your purpose? And you would always hear this from the stage. And I've been guilty of saying it over and over and over about, well, I just want to help people. And then like the other day, it was dawned on me. Their higher self. Like, all I'm going to do is try to be a channel of awakening for them on some level in coaching, perceive and to honor themselves a little bit differently. But who am I to say I'm going to go out there and help? And, you know, it's like, I no longer say my purpose is to help thousands. It's not. My purpose is to show up, be my authentic self.
Absolutely.
And if somebody else shows up and that complements what they've got going on and they have a wonderful experience as a result of that, then great. But it almost felt a little bit, you were talking about vain. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it was just this, it was a thought.
It really becomes effortless when you're standing in your truth and your integrity. Like you just.
Yeah.
You just kind of know what's next, you know? And another story, women's intuition, a mother's hunch, mother's intuition, all those things. I was flying late at night by myself to Florida from Pennsylvania. And this guy got on the plane and I thought, oh, he looks interesting, you know? And let's talk, right? So I said, he's going to sit across the aisle from me. So sure enough, he sits down and we talk and it's very interesting because he owns three businesses. We're going through the, and the flight attendant comes and he says, let me buy you a drink. And I said, no, thank you. I'm good. 3-4 times. Let me buy you a drink. I finally looked at him dead in the eye. And I said, how many times been in jail? Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he said, 3. He turned his head forward, never said another word to me. My gut, my spidey sense, whatever you want to call it, knew that there was a boundary that had to go up.
Yeah.
Now we know these things about people. We say yes to the date when we should say no. We say yes to the promotion when we should say no. You get it. The hair on the back of your neck stands up. But guess what? If you say yes to I get this, that means change.
Yep.
And we're terrified of change.
Yep. So that true. So true. I've recently picked up a book that was recommended. it was quite enlightening, because not only about my own life, you know, things about, and it's just, it now it's, you know, I'm the women I help, I'm like talking to, you know, servicing, whatever, I'm telling them all about it. But it's amazing how we will have that, and then we bury the communication or the words to really say what we know to be true, is what you're talking about, either from avoidance, you know, thinking that, oh, it won't matter anyways, and I'll just go on about my day. You know, one of the things I like to teach is, you know, whether the core personality sometimes can show up as a bulldozer, or it can show up as a doormat. We have a little bit of each in us, but the bulldozers are famous for just being, I got it, don't worry about it, I don't need to bring it up, it's no big deal, right? And not have the voice to communicate exactly what you did with him, and by clearly calling it out, and knowing you can be kind when you do it. You
Absolutely. Know, it, and yeah. we need, I want to say, we need all aspects of ourselves. We need the bulldozer within sometimes.
Yeah,
we need that push. But as women, I think we're taught to be ashamed of that, or tone it down. You don't want to, you know, hurt any, especially my generation, you know, we don't,
yeah.
You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, you know? Well, you don't have to hurt their feelings.
Well, that, and don't get me started on the patriarch, right? I mean, the whole, the yeah. environment, the world, everywhere, you know, and then we turn around and, you know, why are, you know, why is a woman being criticized for such a thing? Right. So, you know, it's all a bunch of BS all on its own. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I just want to let the audience know that V will be taking some calls. If anybody's interested in calling the last part of our show, we're going to do that about 15 till the hour. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break. And when we return, we will have some continued great conversation. Getting into maybe some past lives. Maybe V's got some of her own that you can share with us that you learned something from, and we'll just keep moving along with the conversation. So be back shortly. Stay tuned.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Us, Critical Conversations on the Challenges of Our Time, with me, Dr. Crystal Lee Crane, on TransformationTalkRadio.com every fourth Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. Listen while we focus on the intersections of truth and justice as we learn how to coexist, pushing our social transformation to the next level. Become true stewards of the justice that is needed in our world. Learn more at PreventionAgenda.org. That's PreventionAgenda.org.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion, with me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
everyone. Welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Denae, and we are talking about emotional recovery in the raw. The particular area of life that I'm honing in on today is relationship with oneself, their whole self, whether that's past life, present life, whatever it is. Joining me is our fantastic guest, V. Drake, who is a psychic medium and an expert at this very topic. If you've been listening to us for the first half of the show, we have just been a couple ladies just talking about spiritual evolvement, talking about past lives, talking about, I don't even know. What have we been talking about, V? I mean, anything and everything, right? It's just been, I just love it.
Fast and furious. We're girlfriends.
That's totally what it feels like. So what I wanted to ask you right now is, can you share with us some of your own past life awarenesses or knowledge that you've gained in your journey and how that served you and how that helped you just live a better life of you?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't do past life regressions. Like, there are hypnotherapists that will take you, and there's certainly a time and a place for that. I don't do soul retrievals like shamans do. I study shamanism, but I'm not a shaman. So when it came to me, and it literally came to me, and spirit said to me, you're going to do past life readings, I was like, No. My plate's full. I'm good. You know, that kind of thing. And inevitably, I began to see, like, when I see a past life, I can look like a movie's playing. I would get names and of who people were, and they would Google them and send me emails and like, oh my God, I was Francis from la la la, you know, and I'm like, whoa, you know, I was like impressed myself because I'm only the conduit, right?
Yeah.
So there's a woman that I did a past life for. And so I said to spirit, no, it has to be relevant, because I get a lot of people who just want to dabble and, oh, I'm curious. And that's cool. That's totally cool. I want it to mean something. I want to take you deep into it. Yeah. I want it to be transformational for you.
Yes.
So I had a call with a woman, and she just was in this disarray, like everything was falling apart and she couldn't trust. And, you know, and right away I just looked off to the side and I said, you know, you lived in the time of Joan of Arc. Mm. Now, here's the mistake a lot of people make. They think they were Joan of Arc. Inevitably, it's very, very, very rare. Because if you look at humans, 7 billion of us, how many of us are Joan of Arc? I mean, we might have characteristics and traits, but so I said to her, you lived, in, you know, with, she, think of Joan of Arc as your mentor. You followed her. But what we know about Joan of Arc, and I proceeded to tell her, Joan of Arc had to disguise herself. She had to sneak up on the enemy. She was really a female, but disguised herself as a male. She couldn't be herself, you know, and she was constantly at war. She had a, and this woman said to me, that's exactly what's happening at my work. I feel that way. So what do we do about that? You know, and we looked at it and I said, well, let's look at the opposite side. You know, what's the opposite side of that? And how can you embrace that power that comes from you having lived and mentored, if you will, with Joan of Arc? Another woman, she came in and she just was drawn to working with the dying, right? She just had this calling to work with the dying. And I said to her, well, you shared a battleground with Florence Nightingale. Now, you weren't Florence Nightingale, but you wounded, you were triage. You helped people carry on, right? Wow. And so she said that she wanted to help people, but she also wanted to help them cross, you know, so we worked out a plan. I'm also a trained coach. I'm a spiritual life coach, and I'm also trained as a spiritual counselor, and I'm also certified in the emotion code. So I have a lot of breadth there.
Nice. And for you, what was one of your own past lives that really shifted I always like to say enhance, you know, enhances our life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny because I lived in the time of Cleopatra, where, you know, women were, you know, just, you know, peel my grapes, feed me the grapes that they did for the men. And, you know, but then Cleopatra came along and she was this, you know, this beautiful energy. And I never saw myself as somebody that was deserving to be worshiped, or never felt highly enough. And so as I stayed in that energy, I had this conversation with that piece of myself.
Oh, cool.
To talk to the piece of me that is now. Because the soul is continuous. The soul doesn't go, oh, it's 2022. The soul never dies. It's still having experiences where it is. But there's always tremendous relevance in seeing.
So question for you real quick, and not to, you know, put you in, but the question is, so a shaman, when you say they do a soul retrieval, what is that?
So a shaman is identified by the people. I can't say I'm a shaman. I'm not a shaman. I practice it. And in fact, when I had my past life and I was introduced to shamanism in this life, I went, oh my God, I remember it. I knew things about shamanism. I was remembering it. Soul retrieval is when a shaman journey. So a shaman journeys, they never leave. They stay present here. They journey, they go off in the mind, and they coax it, they talk to it, they work it back. They believe that they'll work the soul back. What I do is very different, because I'm just going, hey, you know, how are you? You know, here's, you know, and I mean, I'm being a little facetious with how I do it, but it's kind of that kind of thing. I follow spirit's direction on how to do it. I don't really have a label for it.
Yeah.
Take nothing away from the ceremonial process of a soul retrieval, of course.
And how quick does it happen? So when you're working with somebody, does it just automatically come to you? Like, do you just hear it or see it if you're, you know, past life, or do you have to purposely go and it's instant?
And so I had a person on the phone, and I could see quickly before they even spoke, before I even picked up the phone, that they were a pedophile in a past life.
Mm.
And I got on the phone call, and this person said to me they didn't say to me, I know it, I pick it up right away, that they were sexually abused in this life. And, you know, people always think, well, okay, so I got to experience that because I did that. It's not quite that cut and dried.
Yeah.
Like, the soul doesn't go, okay, you were the abuser, now you have to be abused.
Right.
Maybe a tinge of it, but it's a little bit more deep than that.
Yeah. Gotcha. I think we've got some callers on the line.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So you can do whatever you want with the callers.
That's cool. Let's take them. I love doing this.
This will be fun. So, Lydia, do you just want to connect them?
Yeah. So what we have first, we have Natalie from Oregon.
Okay.
Natalie, you are on the line with Susan and Veronica. Can you hear us?
Hi, Natalie.
Hello?
Hi, Natalie. Can you hear us?
Hi. Yep, I hear you.
Well, welcome to the show. So I'm just going to let V talk with you, and we're just all going to listen impatiently, I think. We just can't wait to see this. So go ahead.
Hi, Natalie. What do you got for me tonight?
Well, I'm having so many problems at work, and I'm just not understanding why I'm having to go from job to job to job. And I was just thinking, like you ladies, maybe it's time for me to be self-employed also.
Mm-hmm. So,
having a hard time getting along with people.
So the first thing I can see is you're riddled with obstacles throughout your whole life. Everything has been an obstacle and a challenge for you. Would you agree?
Yes.
And it can go back as far as childhood. It doesn't have to, but I can see it's always, there's one more mountain to climb. There's one more battle to fight. There's one more, you know, heartache to endure. And it's almost like you're living with the, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Does that sound familiar at all to you?
Oh, all the time. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So when I look at you, when I feel your energy and I tap into you and I go, this is Natalie in Oregon. Natalie has this, in a past life, Natalie, you were disabled. You were dependent on everybody else. You couldn't use the lower half of your body. There was no standing up. There was no asserting yourself. There was no, and so you came into this life ready to say, I'm going to assert myself. But instead of doing it in an eloquent way, you get angry. Does that make sense?
I get really defensive, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so the growth, the learning here, and believe me, you're not far from it. The learning here is look at what's creating that anger. There's a spark, there's a fire in your belly, and that's a good thing because that's what I had. And listen, I was a nasty bitch. Oh, I don't know if I can say that.
I don't care.
I was angry as all get out. Like, I will get you with my tongue before you get me. Don't even think I wasn't. Okay. So the point
I know.
Is,
I got that problem.
Listen, I see, I have chill bumps because you're closer to tipping than you think. And when I say tipping, I mean getting into your groove. You're right there, honey.
Good.
Right there. I can't tell you what that is because, you know, we got this little bitty, you know, time here, but you're right there. Just, and listen, if this job goes away, whether by your choice or their choice, you'll get another one. And I say that with all due respect. Okay.
Good. Well, I'm running out of options in this town, but it's good to know.
That's okay. Because look, by you running out of options, honey, you got nowhere else to go but within.
There you go. Well, Natalie, thank you for calling. I'm going to see Lydia. Or do we have anybody else on the line?
We have one more.
Maybe not. Do we have any other callers?
Yes, we do have one more.
All right. Why don't we go ahead?
This is Juan from Richmond, Texas.
Having a little hard time hearing.
Sorry, I'm nice and quiet today, but we've got Juan from Richmond, Texas. Richmond, you are on the line with Susan and Veronica.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Hi. You know what? I didn't hear your name. We had a little bit of sound quiet on our end. Could you just repeat your name for us? Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you guys now.
Okay. Can you just repeat your first name for us? We didn't hear it when it first came through.
Oh, first name is Pawn, like a pawn in chess, but spelled P-A-U-N.
P-A-U-N. Okay. Thank you so much for calling the show today. We're super excited to speak with you, and I'm just going to let V take over.
So, Pawn.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi, honey. Are you having relationship issues?
Like a lizard. Yes, I am. Well, okay. Yeah, relationship issues and trying to figure out what to do with my life. I feel like when I hit 40, when you guys were talking about transformation and when you hit 40, like after the 48, like things just, I don't know, I feel like things just didn't work out the way it was. I don't know. I just don't know what to do with my life anymore. I don't like my job, don't like work, have my husband and my kids, and I don't know. I feel like I'm not happy.
So, and this is very, very common, okay? And this happens because while you're not literally driving your car and going to crash it into that side of that bridge like I was, you kind of feel like you're reckless. You're all over the place. You don't know what to do. You have an itch you can't find. And you're looking, you know, somebody should be doing this about it and somebody should be doing that about it. And culturally, I get that you were raised that, you know, you're the caregiver. You're supposed to take care of things and everybody drops their stuff on you. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do you want?
I don't know. My husband asked me the same thing. He's like, what is going to make me happy? Like, what? I tried going within and it gave me some peace. And then I stopped doing it for a bit because I got distracted with the kids and stuff. But I was like, I don't know what's going to make me happy. It's like one of those things.
It's a jigsaw puzzle. We get pieces. And here, I'm going to challenge you because you do know what's going to make you happy. It's in there. And the advice I'm going to give you is light a candle, get a flame, one where you can actually see the flame, ask the question, whatever your question is, to the flame and let the energy of the fire talk to you because the elements are powerful and you will hear things. Here's the thing though, you're going to say, was that me? Did I really hear that? Am I making that up? Sit with it and do that because you're not done with this phase that you're in yet. I know you feel like you are, but you're not done. So you got a couple of more years, maybe 18 to 36 months before it becomes fully known and you make a transition. This is the work time right now. How old will your kids be in 3 years?
I have a 13-year-old, so he'll be 16. I have an 8-year-old, so she'll probably be 11.
There you go. They're going to be definitely, you know, more self-sufficient than they are right now, which is going to give you more freedom and more time.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I just feel lost.
Well, listen, I suggest, you know, and listen, I'm way busy, you know, so, but when I tell somebody that I suggest you book a reading, it's because I really feel like there's, I can help you. I mean, I don't need to do that, but I really feel like I can help you. And I feel like there's a revelation waiting to be had for you. You haven't seen it yet because you're conditioned not to look for yourself. You're conditioned to look for other people. What is your background, your ethnic background?
Oh, I'm from Laos. I'm Laotian.
Where are you from?
Laos? It's a country right next to Thailand and Cambodia and Vietnam.
We inherit the energy of our culture. So whether you're that person in 1802 in Laos or not, you've inherited that energy of that culture. Who was your mother? Who was your mother's mother? Who? Because it's an ancestral thing. Energetically, it takes residence in you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And it's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all, right? It's just you embracing and understanding all aspects of you. Yeah. So I hope this was helpful. I want you to do the flame thing, though, because the flame thing is going to be very
just light a flame and ask my question and see what happens.
Yep. And also, I hear a name for you in a past life. You were male. The first name was Martin and the last name was Corrigan. Martin Corrigan. You were from Europe. Oh. I believe England. And you actually, what you did was you were a creative. You worked with art. You stamped things. Like, I don't know, I can see you hitting it with a hammer and bending some sort of metal with the hammer. You were totally out of your element because people in your time were told, follow this rule, you go do this, you go be that. And you were like a nomad. You didn't have any roots. You belonged nowhere. You left your family of origin. And now look at it conversely, you kind of feel locked into this life that you have right now, right?
Yeah, I do. I feel stuck. I feel like I need to break free.
Yeah, the Martin aspect of you is going, woohoo, woohoo, party time, let's go, let's move, let's do this, right? And your higher self is going, you know there's more, you know there's more. But honestly, sweetheart, it hasn't been fully revealed to you yet, or me. Nope. So I hope that's helpful.
Thank you, Veronica, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, well,
thank you for calling in, and you have a fantastic evening.
You too. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
So, you know, what's a day in the life of Veronica Drake like I was just sitting here thinking about that with, you know, seeing, picking up on people's energies.
Talk about know you're crazy.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny because everybody wants to know, what do your kids think about? And I have a 37-year-old and I have a 35-year-old, and they also, what do your kids think about what you do? Do they think you're crazy? And so I asked my youngest one, he's like, you could tell them yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I use this as my claim to fame. I don't boil chicken bones. I don't shrink heads. I don't have a turban. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I don't work the fairground. I'm a very normal person who just walks in a deeper understanding of herself, essentially. Because if you're looking to know God, let's just use the mainstream word of God, source, whatever. Know yourself.
Yeah. Know yourself. Know yourself.
And there you know God.
I had a question and it just jumped right out. It just went away immediately. I don't know what it was. It was good too. I think it was kind of just about, you know, as people are starting to become, as you know, as you say, we all have these gifts. We all have, you know, this intuitiveness about us. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between, because I know, I think I watched some of your YouTube videos, which are fantastic. But what's the difference between when you're hearing a feeling or a voice from spirit versus your own higher self? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, think of it as your higher self, the voice from spirit. They're all clumped into the spirit category. The other category is everything that isn't that, right? So that would be the egoic category. So spirit goes like this. Okay, it's time to take that left turn. Here's an example. You're driving too fast on this road. There's deer right around the corner. Take your foot off. And I took my foot off. And sure enough, I go around the corner. The ego goes like this. Oh, you're not going to get that. You know, there's no deer there. Why would that be? It tries to talk you out of what you know. And the ego is very loud and offensive at times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Spirit is subtle, and it's so subtle that you might just miss it. And by the way, I have to tell you this because this is how it really works for me. And by the way, I don't give information that's not asked for. Mm-hmm. Your name in a past life was Fern Burgess.
Whose name?
Yours.
Oh, let me write that down.
Fern Burgess. And what I love about Fern, she was a playwright. And she commanded the stage in the time when there was the flapper energy, the burlesque kind of feel. So you were Fern Burgess, and on stage they called you Mamie. And you had the boas, and I can see you with the socks. But as Fern Burgess, you were an author who was an investigative journalist. That was more important to you. You will get to the bottom of it.
You know, it's so funny you say that. I had a, I've known that writing's been in other lifetimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Look her up. I mean, I don't know if she's going to be.
Oh, I will.
People, but that's an aspect of you. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a meditation one time that really, it was crazy. I saw my library. I saw the books on the shelves. Did a couple Googling, found out who I thought it was. And it was a writer. And yeah, just crazy stuff like that, that I just, you know, good crazy, lovely crazy, fun crazy. I think that's the thing I love about is when you get into exploring your whole self and you really take a dive into, you know, what is the spirit and what is the soul and how does it really connect and complete us? I find it fascinating. In fact, when you were sharing with her about you were talking about the culture and being impacted by the environment, you know, and who's been around you, I was going to ask you, going into this, when you embraced your gift and, you know, just your whole self, really, which we all have a gift, right? Which is our whole self. Did you get into studying a lot of history, like to understand everything you were seeing?
You know what's funny? My son is a history major. I have no interest in history. I don't know anything. And when I tell people, when I channel and I see places geographically, I'm a geographical idiot, I call myself. I'm like, you know, I know New Jersey's on this side of me and Ohio's on this side of me, but I don't know nothing else. It comes to me. But I will tell you this, it's changed the way I converse with people.
Yeah.
Because being a talker, right? It's people naturally ask me questions. But what I'm most comfortable with is being a listener.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll tell me things about you.
Yeah.
And all I have to do is listen. And I'm fascinated. That's my education, learning about the world, you know? And I've become a very boring, small talk. I detest small talk. How's the weather? How's that?
Oh, you know what? Yeah. Any of us. So I'm a recovered alcoholic drug addict of 20. This year or this month is my 21 years clean. Yeah. Always like to yahoo. But in recovery, we are so used to deep talk. Like we don't bullshit with light talk. I mean, we are literally to the root, to the talk. How you doing? You're going to get the real answer.
Yep.
And, you know, and so once you go there and you understand that that's the true connection with individuals, it's hard to do anything else. And it's no fun. There is no such thing as small talk anymore. I've been to a couple professional conferences when I was at my day job, and I think I scared a couple people.
I scare people.
Because I'm so real. Like, I don't, you know, I don't really care what you do. I mean, you know, you can do the small chit chat about what do you do for a living, but I want to know what you like, what you love. Like, I want to get to that stuff.
I dig right in.
The professional stuff can be fun, but you know what I mean? Like, I, you know, I'm ready to dig some stuff up. And maybe that's just the nature of what brings some of us into coaching. You know, listening. I too love listening to people. I mean, I will just sit and observe and then intuitively, you know, the downloads and like what you're saying, the compliment with that with some certifications.
That's how it works. Yeah. That's how it works. So the first step to being, I'm opening up a psychic development academy in September, and I'm going to teach this in a whole different way. The first key is observing. If you don't observe yourself first and then observe everything else, you're not going to observe spirit when they come in.
That's right. And so if you're watching the show today, listen to that, observe yourself. You can reach Veronica or veronicadrake.com. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah. And like she's bringing out a new, I think he had a new curriculum for 2022 that I mentioned in the opening. She's up for taking clients. She is available. Thank you so much for being here today. We ran it right up to the end, as always, so I knew this thing would fly by. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. It's been a pleasure, and have a blessed evening, everyone. Good night.
You have been listening to Know Your Crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
And my name is Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDenay.com. That's Susan Dene, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.